A few quick announcements before we get into service. My name is Pastor Noel, and this is Pastor Tim. So first off, we have Harvest Fest going on, and we need candy. It's coming up really soon, and so you can leave a bag of candy right out at the display in the foyer, or you could sow a seed and label it Harvest Fest, and that'll go towards candy for the kids.
Yes. Also, we have tonight, we have Awaken Monthly, our young adults group. Me and Pastor Noel, we're going to be leading that. It's going to be sick. Look, if you are a young adult, if you know of a young adult, tell them to come. We're just doing everything fall. They'll be like, just think of something fall. We're doing it. Wear a flannel, apples, pumpkins, all that good stuff. And then lastly, we also have a clothing drive. Okay. So we're doing a thing. Give a bag, get a bag. Turn to your neighbor, say, give a bag, get a bag. Now, half of you are asleep. Try it again. Say, give a bag, get a bag. Get a bag. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you. Thank you for asking. Look, you're going to give a bag of winter clothes. We're talking hats, scarves, coats, jackets, stuff that people need in the winter. You're going to give a bag of that, and you're going to get this bag right here, a nice little reusable His Tabernacle Church family bag here going. It's going to be awesome. So do that. Bring in your donations. Get a bag. It's going to be awesome. And I would introduce our senior pastors, but they're not here. So everybody, would you just stand as we go into worship?
Do you want a prayer or do you want me to?
Go ahead and stand up. Some of you guys are like, do we stand? Do we sit? Come on, stand up just for a second. You can sit back down if you want to. I wouldn't. But look, let's pray and let's get into service. Father, we are here for you. Lord, we love you so much. You are the first and most important person in the room, and we know that you're here because your word says wherever two or three are gathered, and Lord, I'm looking around, we got more than that. So you are here in the midst. Lord, we are here to lift you up. We are here to glorify your name. Jesus, you've been way too good to each and every one of us for us to sit down and not praise you with everything we've got. Jesus, you are awesome. You are so worthy of praise. God, this world's getting crazy, but you're that much more worthy of our praise and our affection. In our adoration. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to our hearts. Lord, let every heart be open. When the word goes out, let it fall on good ground in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you so much. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.
All right, the altar is open for praise and worship.
We just want to give you a few announcements. My wife is late today. I just love the driveway. Isn't it the best place? We just want to give you a quick announcement. Pastor Cody is going to preach first service this morning. As you all know, our pastor in Canada is in jail. So he's been in jail since Friday. And so I'm going to be preaching via the internet to their church. So they actually put him in jail. And they have padlocked the church. So we need to keep him in prayer. And this is true, genuine persecution. But I will tell you some great news is that the leader of the jail, the head officer, came to him and said, listen, pastor, if you need anything, we'll get whatever you want. So he's got favor just like Joseph had, which is pretty cool, isn't it? So just like Joseph, he has all the favor that he needs while he's in jail. But we want to thank God for his wife and his three babies and literally ministers from all over Canada and the United States are getting involved. And so we're just believing the Lord. Brother Ted said it, and I believe it as well. The judge actually should never have gone to jail. It's a civil case, not a criminal case, and should never have put him in jail legally. And so we're just believing the Lord that that the judge and the police officer and the Board of Health lady, who they have given a gun to, will be paying for our next church building in Canada. Amen. So we just want to thank them for their generosity and their foolishness, which created their generosity. Amen. So today, my wife and I will be here for about a half hour. But at 9:30, their church starts, so we'll be here 25 minutes, and we'll be pumping into the other room, and I'll be preaching to the church in Canada this morning while Pastor Cody's preaching here. So we just want to thank you for your patience. I will be in second service preaching, but first service, we'll be preaching to Canada. Now, they're in homes because they can't even meet. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'm talking like, isn't this crazy? This is crazy that a pastor, one of our pastors, got put in jail because of Jesus. And I did say that. The church is padlocked. And so we need to continue to pray for them. They're going to need a new building, as well as we just need the grace and mercy. Now, they did try to get him out yesterday, and the reason they wouldn't let him out of jail was because they knew he would have church this morning. And which is good and bad. You know, Pastor Phil is stubborn. We love that. But that means he'll end up serving longer time in jail. So we want to keep him in prayer. Amen. This is very important. This is not a joke. This is real. He is in solitary confinement in jail. And so we want to pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, We stand on behalf of His Tabernacle Canada. God, we pray over Pastor Phil as he's in solitary confinement. We pray, Holy Ghost, that you are going to make a visitation to him that cannot be generated by man, cannot be generated by just being there, but Holy Spirit, that you'll invade the cell that he is in, and that Holy Ghost, you will speak to him, that Jesus, you'll encourage him, angels, you'll minister to him. Lord, we pray, God, for Jamie and the children. We pray, Father, that you'll encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, just give them a peace while their husband and dad are in jail. God, we pray over His Tabernacle Canada, all the 200-plus people, Father, that today are meeting in houses all over, Lord, New Brunswick. We pray, Holy Ghost, that you will have a powerful service and that you'll minister to them and that, God, they'll be encouraged and strengthened and know that His Tabernacle all over the world is praying for them. God, thank you for your goodness. We pray, God, for the bills that are going to be raised, Father, for even the financial, for the lawyers. We thank you, God, that you're going to take and get rid of all the fines. We thank you, God, that you are going to show yourself powerful. For whenever, God, there was persecution for your church, you always increased it. So, Lord, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you saw a post that I posted the other day, and it said, if you were a wise government, you would treat us like Constantine treated the church. Some of you don't know what that means. That's church history. The church was always under strong persecution until Constantine came into rule. When Constantine came into rule, what happened was he made Christianity an accepted religion. And then what happened was, because there was no pressure, the church went lax and lazy. They stopped sharing the gospel. They stopped living holy. But Nero, you'll see that was the other part of the post, treat us like Nero, and you'll always have the church increase. Nero persecuted the church, killed people. In fact, China, their church is exploding because of that. Cuba, which is exactly what they did to Pastor Phil in Canada, is what they've been doing in Cuba. If you're having church, they send spies into your church. Isn't that crazy? And when your church gets too much, then they take the pastor, put him in jail, and shut that building down. So every time that's happened, the church always grows. So if they were a smart church history, if the devil was smart with church history, he'd stop persecuting the church and just allow us to get lazy. But he's not that smart, amen? So the church in Canada is going to explode in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's worship together. So when you see us disappear, you know where we are. We're in Canada, transported through the internet.
Bless.
Father, let it be done. Jesus, you alone have the final say. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord.
my cloudy days are gone.
I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Lord, I worship and adore.
I worship and adore you, Jesus. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
More than anything. I love you, Jesus. More than anything in this world.
Thank you, Father.
More than
the back to the front. Is this not what the church is for, is to love Jesus? Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Lord, we love you. Let that flow out of your heart. Let it be genuine. Let it be real.
I love you, Jesus.
You might have struggled this week, but today, this moment, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
It might have been the best week you've ever had with Jesus, but we can always love him more.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
That is like one of the most powerful declarations that we can make is, I love you, Jesus. You know, that's exactly what he's been looking for from your life, from my life, is to love Jesus. And I don't know if some people, oh, I wish we could be deeper. That is one of the deepest statements we could make. That's one of the realest, truest things we could ever declare is our love for Jesus. And if we think that there has to be deeper than loving Jesus, then we've missed it as a whole, because that is the foundation. That's the bedrock. That's what we build on, is our love for Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that we could even say we love you. Lord, I thank you that while we were still yet sinners, you loved us. That while we were unlovable, that while we were literally enemies of you, you loved us enough to send your son to pay for our sins, our issues, our problems, so that we could clearly, in a real way, say that we could love you. Father, I pray that today our love for you would increase, that your love for us, Lord, would be realized on another level, that we would be built on the foundation of being loved by God and loving God. That we would know you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you love him, can I hear a mighty shout in this room? I don't know, I've heard louder shouts at bingo. Can I hear a shout for Jesus in the room? Amen. Hey, this is what I love about the family of God is that we get to greet each other. We get to know each other. Can we take the next 3 minutes and just greet somebody that you don't know? Don't grab a seat. Hold up. Time out. Pause. Some of y'all are repeat offenders. You keep sitting down like, well, someone can talk to me. The Bible says in order to have friends, you must be friendly. So let's stand up. I'll name names right now. Let's stand up and let's go talk to somebody who we might not know. But also, hold up, hold up, hold up. Just ask. Some people still aren't comfortable with a handshake. Just ask and then go talk to somebody. Go ahead, you got 3 to 5 minutes to say hi to a fellow saint in Jesus, to talk to somebody you might not know and create a relationship and friendship. Set up lunch right after church.
There we are. What's up, guys? Oh hey, Livestream family. We're wondering if it's up. We're making sure. Guys, it is so good to see you online. Hey, I'm Jacob, and this is Rachel here.
Hello.
We just want to welcome y'all. I'm glad to see everyone on. Like, guys, go ahead. Give your location. Say hi in the chat. We want to see who's all here. All right? I can't wait. I'm excited because you know what? It's Sunday, right?
It's Sunday.
So good morning to y'all. We are in the house today. We got Pastor Cody who's probably going to be bringing a fire word. We are continuing our message of fortify. Guys, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be anointed. I love it. It's going to be fun, guys. It's going to be amazing. So go ahead, just comment. We can see it right here. So go ahead and comment for us. We want to know where you're from, where you guys are feeling from, how many people you got in the house. Let us know. I want to see who's all here. The Heights, hey there, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Morning. Jake. I said that wrong. Jack. I can't see it fully. Good morning, guys. We're good. Glad to see y'all on here. Yeah, I see him right here. Here, hold this up now. Yeah. Let's see who's all here.
Good morning, Janine.
Janine, hello. Good morning.
It's so good to see you on here.
Who's that? We got Sarah. Yeah, I said that right. Sarah, welcome. It's good to see you this morning. Michelle, hello everybody. Massachusetts, man, y'all are all around this country. Y'all are all around. It's good to see all of you guys. I'm pumped. Rachel, what do you think is going to be the highlight today?
Definitely the message.
Pastor
Cody always brings a fire word.
He does.
I'm excited for what he has to preach on.
Seriously.
I'm excited. We had amazing worship this morning at the 9 a.m. service. Yeah. And I just really feel like the Spirit's going to move this morning. So.
You know, and don't forget, for those that are just hopping on, that we're continuing our message of fortified. And I can tell you, it's going to be powerful. We're having Pastor Cody here preaching it again. Last week, Pastor Spencer. It's going to be a powerful time. Who else we got in here? Guys, go ahead and message. How many peeps are at your house? You got your whole family with you. And guys, we also still have second service today. So if you can get here. We'd love to see you. I'll save a seat.
It is not too late to get here. You still have time. If you're rolling out of bed, if you're just getting up, you still have time to get here for the 11 a.m. service.
Guys, I don't know. Who else we got in here? Who else we got? Go ahead. Put in your location. Say hello. We want to see who's all here.
Tell us where you're from. We want to know where you're watching from. If you're watching from out of state, out of the country, maybe down the street, we want to see that you're online watching.
If you're down the street, I want to see you guys here. Send me a message. Send one of the pastors a message on Facebook or somewhere, wherever you can reach them. We want to see y'all here. We'll save you a seat. All right? We want to see you here. If you can get here, get here. We got someone from Geneva, New York.
Megan.
Welcome.
We're so glad that you are watching with us.
Oh, man. Who else we got in here? Todd Moss is on. Hello, Mr. Moss. Welcome. Where are you at? I bet you're picking up people from his haven. I bet you're bringing them all in. Oh, man. don't know if y'all can hear, but they got the music going right now. They're jamming out over here. Getting a little, yeah, you guys get the head wobble. If you guys are in your house right now, get a little head wobble with it, all right? You got to go back and forth, all right? You know where I feel like I'm from? The Penguin movie, where it's like Happy Feet, and they're like, dan, 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 we're all dancing. That's what it feels like, you know what I'm saying? All right, she doesn't agree. She doesn't agree with me, but I think that's what it's like. All right, who else we got in here? If you guys are here, send us a comment. Wow, laughing at me. I feel hurt now. No, not really. If you guys know the Happy Feet, like start doing the dance with it. All right, you can't see my feet, but go ahead. Do the dance of Happy Feet with me, okay? I'm moving my toes. See, we got Rachel moving now. We got Rachel moving, okay? It's good. It's good.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, guys, we're going to be transferring. They're going to start heading in
you know,
to
this
tithes
is the
and
coolest
offerings.
Thing.
All right?
I think
thank you so much
we
for
should
watching,
just do,
guys.
Like,
and we can't wait to hear what the word has to say.
See you guys later.
You guys are amazing. I'm just watching all these conversations happen. All of our friends, making new friends, reconnecting with old friends. That's what church is about. We are a family, a community. I'm so happy to see you all. Everybody's got big smiles today. It is a smiley, chilly morning this morning. So we're going to transition over into our time of tithes and offerings now. And I just know that you all came with your hearts prepared. We're already in a worship mindset. And I'm excited to share this morning just a little bit from Scripture about what God has to say about offerings. But we are in this series called Fortified this month. And this is super exciting because we need to be ready for whatever is going to come down the pike, whether it's in our personal lives, our collective lives as a church family, our lives as a nation. We need to be fortified in our spirit. But we also need to be fortified in our finances. And one of the ways that we do that is by participating with Kingdom Economy. I want to share with you, we're talking about being fortified. And so I just looked it up in the dictionary. It's really cool, the things that you can learn when you look things up in the dictionary. And so we're learning that fortified makes us stronger and more secure, right? And that's what we're learning about, is being stronger in our faith, being more secure with God. But there's another meaning to fortified, and this really opened my eyes. I hope it does yours too. This meaning says, improved or enhanced through the addition of one or more ingredients. I'm going to read it again. Improved or enhanced through the addition of one or more ingredients. Well, how would that possibly apply to our finances? Well, let me clue you in. So the word says that when in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, that when we don't give, we're cursed with a curse, right? But it goes on to show us that when we do give, that we're blessed with abundant blessings that we can't even fathom. So how many would say that going from being cursed to being blessed is an improvement? Yeah? So that's what I want to encourage you today. If you are not participating with God's economy, you can go today from being cursed to being blessed simply by giving while you're here this morning. The cool thing is also this applies to those of us who already are participating with God's economy, because it says also, the definition says that you are enhanced by the addition of one or more ingredients. So maybe you tithe, but you haven't ventured into the realm of sowing seed yet. And you have an opportunity to do that this morning as well. Many of you know that this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And last week we did have a celebration, but we are giving, some of you weren't here last week. And so we're giving you an opportunity to participate with Pastor Appreciation and honor our pastors during this offering this morning. So as you come up and as you're making a decision right now, number one, that you want improvement in your finances, or number two, that you're going to get enhancement in your finances by participating with God's economy, I want you to notice that there's an extra bucket in the middle up here. And that one there, that basket, is for you who choose to participate with Pastor Appreciation this morning. And you can place your envelope for that into that basket in the center. And you can also participate online. If you're watching online, you can give at histabernacle.com. You can text to give. The number is 84321. You just text a dollar sign in the amount that you want to give. If you want it to go to Pastor, then you type dollar sign the amount and the word Pastor. Or if we take checks, cash, and credit cards right here in house. So anyway, if you're ready, if you'll stand to your feet, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. And it goes like this. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Why? I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
Pastor Spencer is actually preaching, live streaming to our Canadian church right now because, well, yeah, he told you about the situation. So he's actually in the other room right now and we're taking care of business, right? Sometimes you realize when bad things happen, sometimes it's good when dad shows up. So he gets to be dad over for Canada today, which is extremely helpful. But I'm excited about this series. Anybody enjoying talking about being fortified in Christ? And I thought last week about the shoes and the shield. That was awesome. That was phenomenal. But this week, I want to get into something a little bit more. And you might feel like I'm throwing some shots at you this week, and it's because I am. But it's important sometimes because we got to be real about it. If we're not real about it sometimes, let's think about it. We can talk about all the fluff, we can talk about all the show, but if we're not real when the real things happen, then it might get a little bit messy. And we realize that militaries all over the world, they build tanks, they build Humvees, they build different vehicles for different aspects and different things. And why we're using a tank as our example of being fortified is the fact that, man, in life, battles are going to come. In life, things are going to happen, but it's unscriptural to be defeated. And then also we need to recognize that in life, as these battles come, we're not just here to be a punching bag. We're here to take ground. We're here to see victory after victory after victory, and God glorified because of it. Amen? 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 Amen. And as Christians, we're built different. I want to encourage you, we are not built from the outside in. We are built from the inside out. As believers in Jesus, it's not what we have, it's who has us. It's not what we're known for, it's who we're in. And this is such an important thing that we're not fortified by our family and our last name. We're not fortified by our career. We're not fortified even by our family. And we're definitely not fortified by our finances. These things are good. These things are tools. These things are helpful. But as believers, we're fortified in Christ from the inside out. And the problem with trying to be fortified by anything else, anything outside of Jesus Christ, is this, is it's the same aspect and the same attitude that the devil had when he said, let us be like God. I'll be like God, was saying, I'll raise myself up and be like God. I'll take the place of God and do what God ought to do and is supposed to do. And what we find is nothing, no one, nowhere can actually take the place of God. When we trust in money, what we're saying is, this will be like God in my life. When we trust in a career, well, this will be the God in my life. When we trust only in our family, and none of these things are bad on their own. These things are all great on their own. But when they are our fortification, when they are our trust, when they are our bedrock, when they are our foundation, then things get shaky in times of stress and in times of need. Because what we find out is when they try to be like God, nobody can recreate and be God. When money tries to be God, or when we let money be our God, then what we find out is a time of need when we need peace. Money can't buy peace. And this is the issue, is I think that we are fortified in and on a lot of things that aren't Christ. You know, most are fortified by culture, experiences, feelings. But God has called us to be fortified. And we're going to talk about three things today. Real easy, three things. Number one, he's called us to be fortified on his word. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount in verse 24 through 27. And he says this. He says, everyone, and this is an open invitation, anybody right here in this room, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, Scripture's letting us know something really awesome here, that rains come, floods come, winds come, and there's two outcomes. The same things are coming for everybody. And there's two outcomes, and we get to decide what the outcome in our life is going to be. You know, some people blame God. Well, God never did this, and God promised this, and he didn't show up. And we love to place blame on God, but Jesus said it like this. He said, if you do these, this is the response. If you don't do what my word says, this is the response. The fortification is not on Jesus. The fortification is on us. When we talk about being fortified, God did his job. It's our job to put it on. It's our job to be in Christ. You know, sometimes when we're younger, our parents would tie our shoes for us because we were still learning, because we needed someone to show us and educate us. But it would be really weird if today I walked to pastor's office like, Dad, tie my shoe. weird, you know? He'd probably go along with it because he's kind of a weird guy. But that would be weird. And this is how a lot of Christians expect the relationship with God to go. We always expect to be able to put up, well, God, do it. Do it. God's like, well, I showed you how to do it. I taught you how to do it. I've empowered you to do it. I've prepared you to do it. I've given you everything to do it. And this is what he's saying in this parable is, whoever does my words, whoever applies this to their life, when the wind, when the rain, when the floods come, you're going to stand. You are going to stand. But if you don't, this is not a threat, this is a warning. If you don't, this is what's going to happen when the problems come. You're going to get washed away. And he likened it to sand. Anything that's not of Jesus that we build our life on is like sand in the perils of life. Think about how powerful this is. Jesus said, when you build on the rock, when you build on myself, nothing can shake you, move you, or destroy you. But anything outside of Christ is like sand. It doesn't stand much of a chance. You know, when we talk about the word, it doesn't matter what comes when we realize what the word is. This is powerful. Ready? The word, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, is like milk. It'll help us mature. Maybe you're sitting here, you're like, you know what, I'm not that mature yet. I get distracted. I have struggles with these smaller things I've been working on for a while. Can I tell you what you need? You need the word, because it's like milk. It'll help you mature. It'll help you grow up. We need a maturity in the body of Christ, and it comes from the word. The word is also like solid food for those who are mature. Look, just because you're grown up, just because I'm an adult, doesn't mean I stop eating. I need to become more mature. I need to grow into more of what I'm supposed to be like, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The word, why is the word like, why is the word so important? Why are the words of Christ like the stone that we build on? Because it's like a sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It'll expose the heart and it will show the truth. We need our heart and we need the truth. We need them combined. Why do we need the word? Because it's like a fire and a hammer to burn up what shouldn't be there and to remodel where we need to be rebuilt. Why do we need the word? Because it's like a mirror to self-reflect and measure ourselves against what God has asked us to live like, according to James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Why do we need the word? Because we can't know what we're actually doing without Jesus' direction. You know what's really interesting? It is in the Bible, we're often referred to as sheep, or we're alluded to as sheep. And Jesus is our great shepherd. This is really, really interesting, because sheep in a natural sense have terrible vision. It's actually interesting. They can see a little bit in front of them, but their depth perception's terrible. But they have really good, and this is interesting, they have really good peripherals, and they can actually even see a little bit behind them. And how crazy is it that as humans, we are actually very, very similar in terms of vision for what's happening next in our life. We can see what's happening today. We know what happened yesterday, but we can't control or truly know what's going to happen when we walk out of this church today. The word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, according to Psalm 119. How powerful is it that while we might not be able to see right in front of us in the next hour, that God knows what's happening, and when we walk in God, with God, for God, then we are walking in with a lamp and with a light. Powerful to know this. The word is like, it's like water to cleanse us, according to Ephesians chapter 5. The word is like gold, how desirable it is, and sweeter than honey, according to Psalm 19, verse 10. The word is like an anchor, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, to keep us secure in the storms. You know what's so great about the word? When we're built on the word, it doesn't matter what comes against us, we're secure. Milk, solid food, sword, fire, hammer, mirror, light, water, gold, honey, anchor. We're not going anywhere when we're built on the Word of God. But we must be people of the Word, not just hearers, but doers of the Word. You know, it would be ridiculous of me to show up at the gym every day, listen to the coach, watch the coach, hear the coach, but never grab a hold of the bar. And then get mad at the coach that I didn't get any skinnier, that I didn't get any healthier, that I didn't get any stronger because I heard everything he did, but I didn't apply anything that he showed me. It's the same in the house of God. In James, it teaches us, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word, because we get what we apply in this life. We get what we apply in this life. And when we're built on the word, we're fortified by the word, and we get the word of God in our life every single time. And this is the importance of rock solid faith, to learn the word, to apply the word. This is the importance of our daily Bible reading. Who reads their Bible every day? This is what separates us with daily Bible reading, as we know what to apply. I mean, think about the word of God real quick and everything that it does for us, even just outside of that list of what it says of itself. Man, the word lets us know what his promises are. The word lets us know who he is. The word lets us know who we are. The word lets us know what's good and what's bad. The word separates us and gives us vision and direction. I want the word in my life, not because it's a task and a chore, but I get to know God and know and be more like God. I get to know his promises. I get to know what to do and what and how to do it. I know what to avoid and what to run towards. The word is not a task. The word brings freedom to our life. Man, we need to not only be fortified on the word, but we also need to be fortified in God's nature. Man, what do I mean by that? When we go back to David and Goliath, like we talked about in week one, 1 Samuel chapter 17, what we find is interesting that Saul's army doubted the nature of their God in the face of fear. What are we talking about? We're not talking about when everything is rainbows and candy. We're not talking about when everything is good. We're talking about what happens when the battles of life, when the wind, the rain, and the floods come. What happens in this life when the giants are yelling and looking big and bad? We're talking about these moments. And in this moment, we know that God's people decided to run and hide in the face of fear instead of standing strong in the face of fear. And the difference is this, is you find in Scripture almost every single battle up until this point, they pointed back to God's nature. You know, oftentimes we point back and look at our failures. We point back and we look at what happened in the past and we expect that to be our future. But as believers, we don't point back to our failures. We point back to our Father's nature. Think about this. You run through the Old Testament, run through Deuteronomy, run through Numbers, run through Exodus, run through all of these places in the Old Testament, and you always find them remembering what God did in the face of a battle or in a moment that was tough. You're like, the same God that brought them out of Egypt. The same God who brought them through the Red Sea. The same God who brought them through the desert with a cloud by day and fire by night. The same God who gave them food every day. The same God, and this always blows my mind, who had a rock follow them through the desert and produce water. Yeah. That doesn't even like, just see a stone rolling with them all the time. And they set up camp and it just starts chugging more water. Like, wild to me. But it's the nature of God. The same God who brought them through the walls of Jericho. The same God who made sure their clothes didn't wear out in the desert. The same God who made sure that their shoes stretched with their feet and didn't get holes. The same God that was bringing them into the land of promise was now going to let them fail just so they could go back to slavery? Because see, when you realize the nature of God, you can know what your future looks like if you're in God. If we realize this, number one, his nature is redemptive. You might be in a bad spot right now. You might be in a spot where you see no way out. You might be in a spot where it looks like hell is inevitable and failure is the next piece. But when you realize the nature of God is redemptive, then you can have faith for the future. I think a lot of people give up when they don't see how God could do it. But the reality is, when nobody else but God could do it, is when God normally shows up. I love that God is redemptive in nature. It's part of who He is. Read through the entire scriptures and you find a God who's redemptive in everything that He does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, and check this word, and redemption. And I looked up this word redemption, and it's two Greek pieces of a word put together. And this is really cool. The first part of the word is apo, A-P-O, which means separation. And the second part of the word is leo, L-L-Y-O, which means to melt away. You know what's so cool when we read it like this? But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and a separation that was melted away. You realize that Jesus melted away the separation? That's what redemption is. It's when separation is melted away from us. 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says this. It says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. It's interesting because it's the same, it's almost the same word. It's apo, separation, but this time it's luo, which is washed away. Not only melt away, but wash away. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. It says that He who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. When you realize that the nature of God is redemptive, that He brought them out of Israel. He brought them through the Red Sea. He brought them through the walls of Jericho. And it doesn't matter what giant, what water, what flood is looking at you right now, but God is redemptive. That His goal is to take separation and to melt it away or to wash it away. That's His purpose. That's His desire, because He loves you. This is what we got to realize about the nature of our Father, is He's not here to string you out to dry. You know, He's not like some average NFL quarterbacks that play for the Bills that throw across the middle and let their wide receivers get tanked by a linebacker. If I'm talking to the guys real quick, He's not going to do that to His guys. He's not going to string us out. He's not going to leave us out. He's not going to lead you into a place that's supposed to be good just so you can get destroyed. That's not the nature of God. I mean, the nature of God is redemptive, but you realize it's also protective. This is great, because when you're outside of Christ, when there's an issue going on, He wants to redeem you. But also, when you're in Christ, He's going to protect you as one of His children. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says this. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. If you look at the protective nature of God throughout the Old and New Testament, it's astounding. Let's just look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Hey, I'm going to feed you to these lions. And they throw our friend Daniel into a lion's den to be eaten, gored, because of his sin against the king, an unlawful command against God. And out comes Daniel in the morning. Why? Because he serves a God who has a protective nature. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. What do you find? Three Hebrew boys thrown into a furnace, lit up seven times hotter. And they're looking in, and the king says, how many guys did we put in? Three. Well, why do I see four? Because there was a fourth man in the fire, and his nature is protective. And they came out, ropes were off, their clothes weren't burnt, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because they serve a God with a protective nature. And I think we got to remember the nature of our God. And this is where they failed in 1 Samuel chapter 17. They forgot the nature of their God. In any moment, in any issue, in any time in your life, if you feel fear, if you feel like it's time to throw the towel in, like it's time to quit, like it's time to move on, can I tell you your first response should be to sit back and not think about how big your problem is, but to sit back and think about the nature of your God. Start to think about the testimony of the past. Start to think about the past things that he did scripturally for other people. Start to think about people in your life that he did great things for. Start to think about your own life, the great things that he did for you. And then remind yourself that he's not done yet with your life. That he's not done yet because there's still breath in your lungs. That you're not forgotten about. That you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And I think we need to remember this about his nature, that he's victorious. Didn't in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he said, "I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death in the grave." Your father is victorious. Romans chapter 16 verse 20, it says, "And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." That sounds like a promise that's in action. That sounds like something that's powerful. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Not like, "Oh, leave him alone, please. I really don't appreciate how you're talking to my kid." No. "Will soon crush Satan under your feet." 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says like this, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Matthew 16:19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." You know, we serve a God who's victorious. Every time you see God step into a battle, step into a situation, step into a moment, there's victory that follows. And it goes from small to large. It goes from life to money. It goes from family dynamics all the way to personal problems. We have a God of victory. John chapter 11, he resurrects Lazarus. He stepped into the scene and we see victory. The woman in the Old Testament, when there was famine in the land, and the prophet shows up and he says, "How many buckets do you have? Oh, go start filling them." And she had more than enough so that her and her son could live and eat. He's a God of supply. When he showed up, there was victory. Start to look through and think about the scripture. His nature is this: it's redemptive. His nature is protective. And his nature is victorious. And I think what we need to make sure we do as believers in Jesus, not believers of Jesus, but believers in Jesus. You're like, "Well, that's just semantics." Well, I want to make it more than semantics for a minute. Your proximity to Christ will largely determine your victory in Christ. Like, just because I'm around a winning team doesn't make me the winning team. If there's shells flying all over the place just because I'm near a tank doesn't mean I'm in a tank. Think about it like this. Just because I'm in church doesn't mean I'm in Christ. Just because I'm around the things of God doesn't mean I do the things of God. Just because I know the right words to say in the wrong moments doesn't mean that I'm in Christ. And this is the problem with the body of Christ so often, is we're around the things of God, but we aren't in the things of God. We know to show up on Tuesday, but what happens when things go crazy? Do you go to prayer? We know that we should know about the Bible, but do we do the things of the Bible? We know that our hope and our trust should be in Christ. I mean, we built it, so we might as well use it, right? I'm gonna be honest. I'm better on my feet. God made me for 2 feet, and that's it. You know, it's a lot more secure when you're on this side of the tank. It's a lot more satisfying when you know there's some protection around you. There's a lot more peace. There's a lot more joy. There's a lot more comfort. There's a lot more victory when you're not around things, but you're in it. And this is the step that we need to take to be fortified in Christ. As we can't just think that because I go to church, I am the church. We can't just think that because I show up to a building, I'm good. We can't just think that because when things are bad, I'll catch the live stream or I'll go to YouTube and I'll worship my favorite playlist when things are bad. Because Jesus is more than a get out of jail free card. He's more than a foxhole. He's a lifestyle. And when we remain in Christ, everything's different. Everything is shifted. And I believe as believers in Christ, as followers in Christ, not of, in Christ. This is the key difference. I don't want to just be around. I want to be personally in. I don't want to just talk about. I want to be about it. This is the difference. We're really good at showing up to church, but it's time to be believers in Christ. We're really good at knowing what to say around other Christians, but what do we do when all hell is breaking loose and we're by ourselves? You know, what's happening inside of your heart? What's happening in those places? And this is the difference of being built in Christ and being built in a career. Because in Christ, it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. I know I'm secure in Christ. I still have his promises. I still have his peace. I still have his joy. I still have every single thing that he has promised me because I've remained in Christ. But when other things are our security, it's like trying to hide behind this stool. Like it's going to be bad. It's not good. This is not healthy. I'm way too big to be trying to hide behind this stool. But this is what it looks like when we try to be secure in other things or built on other things. You know, when we try to be secure in how much money we might make, there's things that are sticking way out that can get beat up and broke down. Easy. When we try to be secure because, oh, I got a great family. Look, great families are great. You should have an amazing family, especially as a believer. You know, I think we're getting into this next year. But as believers, you realize the world will know that we're truly God's followers by our love for one another. Yes. Think about that. How do we treat our family? Oh, I hate them. Our love for one another, right? My boss talking to my employees about my fellow employees about our boss. Oh, yeah, that thing about our love for one another. Crazy. You know, when we try to be, are we doing it, babe? All right. This is nothing about faith. This is about being built on something that's shaky. Hey, soft knees, soft feet. But this is the reality is when we try to build off things that aren't Christ, I'm telling you, I could go down pretty easy right now. I'm not built for this. But this is our lives when we're not built in Christ. When we're not built on the rock. Man, someone could just come and grab that thing. Don't. I'll hit you with the meanest people's elbow. You try to run up here right now and knock me off. But here's the difference, is when we're built on things that try to be like Christ, all it's doing is it's exposing us more. Really think about this. When we try to be built on anything that's not Christ, it exposes us more. But, that was scary, bro. All right. But when we're built in Christ, we're fortified. We're good. We're all set. Because here's the question that has to be out there. Who is going to destroy the Lord Almighty? Who is going to defeat who we're in? Don't confuse proximity with safety. Don't do it. Just because you're in church doesn't mean that you're in Christ. Being in Christ is a personal daily decision that I have relationship with the Lord, that I trust in the Lord, that I follow the Lord, that I apply the things of the Lord, that I am with Jesus in daily relationship. Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, and 3, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, and he who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. A lot of us know this verse, but we miss the first part. They say, therefore, we are a new creation in Christ. Behold, the old is passed away, the new is here. You know, we missed a key part of this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. You realize that being in Christ is what makes you a new creation? Not being in church, not being in the Bible study, not being in a small group. All those things are great and we need them. But it's imperative that first we are in Christ, in relationship with the Lord personally. Not our husband, not our wife, but us personally are in relationship with Christ. Is a personal thing. Not my grandma was a good believer, not my dad was a pastor, but I am personally in Christ. I am then a new creation. Colossians 2:10, it says this, you are complete in him. Not in his church, in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 3:3, it says this, it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. In and with are much greater than around and near. I don't want to be around God. I don't want to be near the things of God. I want to be in God and with God. And this is a personal decision that we make. And this is how we are, I'm telling you, this is what separates us from being fortified and unfortified. We know the attacks are coming. We know there's weapons of our warfare. We talked about the shoes and the shield. But this is the difference that will make or break everything. Because here's the problem. A lot of people, when bad things come, that's when they grab their shield and their shoes. But when we stay in Christ, we stay fortified. When we stay in Christ, we remain on the rock, not shape-shifting on the sand. This is the difference. And this isn't just New Testament. This is Old Testament. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. He's not just a shield for all. He's a shield for all who trust in him. Psalm 25, 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Psalm 2:12, it says this, blessed are those who put their trust in him. And we realize that we're fortified by the word of God. Because the word of God is what we're built on, we're built up by, we're remodeled by, we reflect. When we realize we can be fortified by his nature, by looking back at the past and what he's done before, and we can have faith for the future because that's the nature of God. When we realize that when we are in Christ, whatever's going around us, it will be real. It can still hurt, but it won't destroy you. That there's God, ready? Let's just say it like this. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. And when we love him, we're in him. While others might not make it, you will. While others trust in money, ideologies, experiences, you'll stand on what's real. And that's the rock. That's Jesus. When we're fortified on the things that don't move and shift, we're good and we're not moving. And to reiterate the biblical image of this, the followers of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when they had problems, you know what they did? Seemingly, they forgot about God. They never one time brought God up and all he had done in their past. All they did is run in fear. Because they believed that they were Saul's army, not God's army. And they looked good, but they weren't actually about it. The difference of David and Saul's army is he knew God from spending time with him. He remembered past victories. Remember, he said, I killed a lion and a bear. Bro, you're wild, man. You killed a lion and a bear with your bare hands? Why, though? Because he knew his God. He remembered his past that let him trust God's nature. He knew he was in God. Who wrote those Psalms we just read? David. David was fortified from the inside out. Saul's army only had good armor, but they weren't built from the inside out. What's going to separate you is when you're built from the inside out, not built from outside things. The battle's coming. Things are going to try to get you. The devil hates you. And I don't want to be built on things that are like God, but I want to be built on God. I want to walk with God. I want to be in Christ. And this is the difference. This is the separation, is when we're in Christ. How are we in Christ realistically? Number one, be in your word. Again, I said it a couple weeks ago. If you read your Bible 4 times a week, there is a statistically noticeable difference in your life. They did this massive poll. People who read twice a week, no change. 3 times a week, no change. 4 times a week, there was a measurable difference in those people's life. Be in your word. How are you in Christ? Be in prayer. You know, your prayer life might look different than my prayer life, but be in prayer. Yeah. I mean, I want to be with someone that I love. Prayer's not a task. Prayer's easy. It's just talking to God. Don't make it hard. You don't need to, like, remember 800 steps to prayer. Just be genuine and real. And, you know, if you have a hard time praying, there's some ways that you can pray that make it easier, that'll teach you a flow of prayer. But just be genuine. Worship on your own. Fast. Fasting's great. I'd challenge any believer to fast at least once a week. Promise you're not going to die. It might feel like it, personal experience, but you're going to live. And then ready? Be radically obedient to whatever God tells you to do. If you want to be in Christ, it's that easy. Pray, read, worship, fast, and be radically obedient to whatever the Lord tells you to do. Not a little bit obedient, not preferably obedient. Be radically obedient to whatever the Lord asks you to do. You do those things, you're in Christ. First four are easy. The last one, that might cost you something. But if someone told you that following Christ costs you nothing, they lied. Following Christ will cost you everything, but it will deliver everything it promised. This is the difference. The idols, the other things we build our life on, what they say is they'll cost you nothing. And they promise you everything. And God's on the other side. He's saying, look, this will cost you everything. But I'll promise you everything. In the end, what you find about those idols is while they promised you everything and cost you nothing, that they'll give you nothing and cost you everything. But you'll find God to be true to his promises. That when we, Luke 9:24, it says it, For whoever desires to gain his life will lose it. But if anyone will lose his life for my sake, they'll gain it. When we decide that I'll be in Christ, I'll lose my life for Christ, we gain life. We gain every bit of life that we would expect. But when we try to gain it for our own, we lose all of it. And this is like the paradox of Christianity, right? I think we've set a very low entry bar, almost like lying to people. Man, I'll tell you the truth, it'll cost you everything. Look in Matthew. Jesus was calling for disciples. The one guy was like, let me go bury my dad first. They're like, no, follow me. Well, where are we going to sleep? Don't worry about it. What are we going to do? Don't worry about it. Leave it. Follow me. You know, the cost is great, but the reward is greater. Luke 9:23, it's an open invitation. Will you bow your heads as I recite this verse for you? Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, this is an open invitation. Anyone is an open invitation. They must first deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me daily. Verse 24, for whoever desires to gain his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will surely find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world but loses his soul? This is exactly what we're talking about today. Are we fortified on the things of the world? Are we fortified in the things of Christ? Because when we surrender our life to Christ, we're fortified in him. When we give Jesus our all, then guess what we get? His nature, his redemption, his protection, and his victory. And that's what he has for us, a victorious people. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to God, or maybe you have and you've been living a life of hell, and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, today's your day. Scripture says that this is the day of salvation. Today's your day. If you don't know Jesus, or you've walked away, you've turned your back on the Lord, and you feel that tug in your heart saying, I need to get right with God. This is my moment. This is my day. You feel that tug. Don't ignore it. That's God calling you. That's God's love calling you home. Today, if that's you and you're ready to get right with God, will you wave your hand at me right now? There's only one way to heaven. His name is Christ Jesus. Saying, I want to be fortified in Christ. I'm sick of being fortified in other things. Go ahead and wave your hand right at me. Come on, nice and tall. Amen. 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 Here's what we're going to do. Can we all stand to our feet? I have a challenge for you this week. It's an easy one. Low entry. I'm going to challenge you this week to read your Bible 6 times from today until next Sunday, or Monday to next Sunday. Read your Bible every morning and post about it on your social media. Pretty easy. Just share one verse on your social media. And it's not for anything other than accountability to yourself. Like, if you don't have social media, text somebody. Text them a verse that stood out to you. You don't need to read 12 chapters. Just read. Pray every day this week. That's my low bar challenge. Just read and pray every day this week. If you raise your hand for salvation in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to make your way up front to Julian. He'd love to pray with you, give you a Bible, answer any of your questions. But I did feel to do this before we ended service. I'm still earlier than Pastor. Man, if you're a believer in this room, you say, I've just felt weak lately. I've just felt like I've been getting beat down, beat up. Just wave your hand at me real quick. Man, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, I want to read this real quick. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Can I encourage you? Jesus wants to strengthen you with his Holy Spirit in your inner man. You don't got to be weak. God wants to strengthen you. God wants you to be strong. We just put your hand on your stomach real quick. I want to pray for strength. If that's you, you say, I need to be strengthened more. And look, you can be the strongest Christian you've been in the whole room. There's more available. Go ahead and just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray every single believer in this room would be strengthened. I pray that, Father, those who are weak would be built up by your Holy Spirit in our inner man. That, Father, you gave grace for our spirit so that we wouldn't be weak, but we would be strong. Father, fortify us greater today. Build us stronger today. Lord, I pray those that are strong, give them even more strength. Build them up even stronger. That, Father, we would walk, not beat down. We wouldn't walk feeble need. But, Father, we would walk in strength and see victory in our life every single day. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you raise your hand, we're going to put our hands together. We're going to shout. We're going to clap. Can you meet us up front real quick? I saw three or four hands. If you raise your hand for salvation, can you meet Mindy and Julian right here up front? We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. And I believe Pastor Spencer would like to take the service.
Amen. We just got done preaching in Canada. For those who came in a little bit late, we our pastor, young lady, there you go. I'm so proud of you. Yay! Our pastor in Canada is in jail, and he's supposed to be there, I believe, until Friday. And so we want you to continue to pray for him every single day. His wife and three children are home and holding up the church. Amen. We just had church. So Pastor Jamie, she can sing and she is anointed. She did worship for at least 30 minutes. And then I preached for about 20 minutes. Yeah, you know, that's a miracle. And preached for about 20 minutes. And then they ended out the service. And so we're believing God that Pastor Phil will get out early this week. Amen. We just hired a new lawyer and believe in God for that. And I'd like to have you start praying. I know the legal fees are going to be astronomical. We do have help from other churches. Rodney Howard Brown's church down in Florida has already contacted and wanting to help financially. I know Jonathan Shuttlesworth has already sent money financially. And I know the first lawyer who we just fired, we just paid $1,700 to, and he did absolutely nothing. And so this new lawyer that we're talking to, I believe, is going to be just awesome. So just pray about it, and if God lays it on your heart to sow specifically towards the legal fees with Pastor Phil up in Canada, let us know. No strain, no stress, just be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you that your church is almighty, God, because you are the church. We declare that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. No weapon formed against your church shall prosper. I declare in the name of Jesus, souls to be saved, bodies to be healed. I declare devils to be cast out in Jesus' name. We are your church. We are your body. And we will walk Christ as you walked. Live Christ as you live. Do Christ what you did to bring in the glory of heaven before the trumpet of God sounds. We give you honor and praise for being blessed to be called children of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, Lord, let us lead at least one soul to you this week. That, Father, we'll bring them next week and you'll move in their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody in agreement shouted. I said everybody in agreement shouted. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your hearts.